Amen, and happy Mother's Day. I normally try to get a lady up here teaching on Mother's Day. I like it when we hear the word from a feminine heart and that perspective. And, you know, I was trying that, and it just wasn't the Lord's timing and the Lord's way. So you guys, you ladies have me today, all right? And I actually like this kind of message because I see God's beauty in you. I see it, and so I love to talk about it. And then this is a little unique in that we're in the middle of a worship series, and it just dovetails well together, but we're going to spend time on the beauty of God as well. So that's cool, isn't it? The title of this message is She Bears His Image. I'm going to start with First Peter 3:3-4. And Peter's right, and he says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." And so we see here that there is a beauty from the outward, but it's not merely outward. There's something more to it than that. It's deeper than that. And there is a feminine heart that God created that has from Him a gentle and quiet spirit, and it's precious in His sight. And a gentle and quiet spirit, I believe, reveals a woman who trusts God, who knows that her present and her future is in a big God's hands. And so she lives in a way that she doesn't have to fight for her needs and wants. She doesn't have to argue for it. She doesn't have to battle for it. She doesn't have to attack. She doesn't have to be all aggressive. She trusts God and watches Him come and provide for her. It's ideal in the marriage world. And we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, that the husband as a godly covering is unselfish, and that husband is serving her and loving her as Christ loved the church. And yet it says to men later on that we need to honor women and treat them with this kind of respect and love and kindness, or else God won't answer the man's prayers. So He is serious about this. He wants you ladies blessed and loved on. And He does this, and He sees this submitted heart to God, the one who's above all other authorities, trusting in Him, that gives you His peace. And you don't live in anxiety and fear, but you receive that peace from Him. Motherhood is just so full of many gifts. You guys have so many abilities. You're a jack of all trades. You're good at all stages of human life. You carry the babies well. Us guys can't do that. You guys can actually birth the babies and do it just right. We can't even go there. Don't want to even think about it. You guys are so good when the babies are just little infants, and you're just so kind and you're so gentle. And then as they grow up in toddlers, and you're loved despite all that energy and the school years, and when they turn in their teens to young men and young women, you moms are amazing. You're good at every stage. You're giving at every stage. You're caring at every stage. You're serving with this loving heart at every stage, so much that you get tired and worn out sometimes. And even my lovely wife, Delisa, taking care of me before church this morning. I mean, I still need a mom. I've got my mom next door. My mom, Barbara Rydell, lives next door to me, and I got my mom in the house. I mean, I need two of them as close as I can get to me. You guys take care of us so well. You have gifts. Some gifts are even unexplainable. Let's see this illustrated in this video.
Hey, honey, where are the scissors?
They're in the drawer.
They're not in the drawer. I just looked in the drawer. They're not in the drawer.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't look under that. I didn't look under that thing.
Of course, none of you in here growl like that, and none of you scowl like that. You're happy to get up and be interrupted again because the guy cannot find it in the refrigerator, in the drawer. I mean, come on. I've told you where it is. You guys have this gift. You know where everything is. I think it's in the feminine line because my daughter even has it. She's 23, and she calls sometimes, and this, you know, within this past year, she just calls and talks. I mean, what a blessing, a dad. She lives 10-hour drive away, but I get to talk to her on the phone several times a week just to chit-chat, and she says, well, Dad, what are you doing? You know, because she's not doing anything. She's on lunch break. She's bored. And I said, well, I'm looking for such and such. I'm trying to find something. And you know, well, have you looked here? Have you looked there? And she starts, and she helped me find the thing. I was like, wow, this gift comes down early in young womanhood, and you can be, you know, halfway around the country and still help me find it. It's amazing. You ladies just take good care of us. And I do like, we want to recognize in those junior high, senior, early teen years, 13 and so forth, that young men and women are becoming young adults. This is what God's doing in them. And all the babysitting that our young people do and the teenage girls, you're carrying the mother heart already. God is using you in those young years. So some people might wonder, well, listen, you know, where does all this, you know, God's goodness and blessing comes from? Because I'm a she, and when we read the Bible, it always says he. You know, God, we call him he, and he's Father, and that's how we pray to him. Well, look at this scripture in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Maybe you haven't seen this little, the way the wording is. Genesis 1, 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So there is, right here in Genesis, a recognition that in the image of God comes masculinity and femininity. And so there is a unique inner being in you. That heart of a woman has a uniqueness that's different than the masculine heart. And this is something that is from God. So ladies, you received from God's heart this side, this beautiful side of you, and it's why you carry this uniqueness on the earth. You are following in God's image and blessing that he has created you. God likes to call his people beautiful. In Isaiah 62, verse 3, there is this statement where God is actually speaking to Israel, his chosen people, and how he sees them and what he's doing in them. And then because we are believers in Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, he's our Messiah, we get grafted into these blessings. And the way God views you is this: you will be a verse 3 of 62, you will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. So listen, guys and gals, as both of us, we are a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord. We are something to gaze at. And these crowns often were of flowers and garlands. And I can just think of Elizabeth Southern and her wonderful flower gift that she has both here and at her home, and just crafting this beautiful wreath for a crown and showing it. Oh, look at it. Look how beautiful it is. Look at the colors. Look at the life of the blessing of God that came through this crown. This is the beauty that God wants us to realize and recognize and relish in. As Christian people growing up in the church for many years, perhaps we have a sense of, you know, well, I've got to be sure I'm not vain and I just focus on the outward, and that's true, right? That's the foundation. Even in worship, as we said earlier, we worship from the inside, the heart, and then it's expressed and then it can be seen many times on the outside. But There is a place in Ezekiel chapter 16 where, again, God is speaking to Israel. He's describing how he pursued Israel and he had to rescue her. She was all alone. She was abused and beaten. She was desolate, and God the Father had to come and wash her and clean her, and then he beautifies her. And they describe, the prophet describes beauty with this outward adornment. This is Ezekiel chapter 16. I'll start reading at verse 10. He says, I clothe you with an embroidered dress and put sandals of fine leather on you. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. I adorned you with jewelry. I put bracelets on your arms and a necklace around your neck. And I put a ring on your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. So you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were of fine linen and costly fabric and embroidered cloth. Your food was honey, olive oil, and finest flour. You became very beautiful and rose to be a queen. And your fame spread among the nations on account of your beauty, because the splendor I had given you made your beauty perfect, declares the sovereign Lord. So this is what God does. This is an image of what God does in us spiritually, emotionally, in our soul. He cleans us up and he beautifies us to where it can be seen like a queen would be the one, even more so than the king. Look at this queen. Look how beautiful she is. And it says this is all this attention from the nation gazing and being captivated says, oh, this beauty, he says, comes from me, declares the Lord. This splendor I have given you, is perfect beauty, comes from me on account of it's what he gives us. And in this story, if you keep reading in Ezekiel, unfortunately, there's unfaithfulness. This beautiful woman that God blessed and beautified, she's unfaithful. And then God has to go again and restore her from her selfishness and wickedness and just indulging in rebellion, and God does it. He is merciful. He comes back again. It's that phrase, beauty to ashes, that God is, it's exchange. You give him this ashes of brokenness and ugliness of your past, and God gives you his beauty and splendor, and he beautifies you. He's merciful like that. He's gracious like that. So one of the main questions that a female will ask in her life, starting at a young age, is, am I captivating? And that is a question that comes, it's that inner beauty and that outer beauty. And that's why that if I go to the youth group this Wednesday night, and let's say the guys and the girls, young men and women, they're split up in two groups, and I'm gonna have some studies with each one and speak to each one. And if I go over to the guys group and I said, you look adorable. You're just lovely. You're charming. How gorgeous. What? How radiant you are tonight. Those guys are going to look at me weird. They're going to want to kick me out of the room. But that's what the young ladies would so appreciate. Is, oh, you look stunning tonight. You're so gorgeous and beautiful. Your face is radiant and shining. You are, that outfit is adorable. Of course, I'm not really sure which outdoor outfits are adorable, but you know, I hear you girls talk to each other, right? If I go on the guy's side, you know, I'm going to say something different. This is a real thing. I was preaching this theme in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I was family life and youth pastor there. And for some reason, I don't know why the little girl went over in children's church at the time. But we're talking young, like 5 years old maybe, 4 or 5 years old. Came with a dark green, you know, velvet dress to church that day. And I am talking about this beauty that comes for God in femininity. And this girl breaks away from her mom and starts twirling and dancing in front of everybody. Like she knew what I was talking about or something. Well, her heart did, her spirit did, and she just said, well, look, am I captivating? I'm going to get up in the front of the church and see if... I just couldn't believe it. I was like stunned. I couldn't believe it. Wow. this is an important message to speak to our young ones. When my daughter was in elementary school age, I wanted her to be sure to know what her dad saw over her and what her dad counts, what God sees in her. That's what counts. And I got this T-shirt printed just for her. Well, I ran into a similar situation just a few months ago. I was helping the Pierce kids on a morning to get them to school. And I was over at Jill's house. They had spent a night there, the two boys and Gracie, the little girl there who's precious. And she comes up to me on the sidewalk and says, "Pastor Stephen, do I look like a boy?" And I'm looking at her. Of course not. She doesn't look like a boy. She's so cute. She's so precious. And her hair was combed nice that morning. She had little earrings on. I said, "No, of course not. You're not. You don't look like a boy at all. You're precious. You're cute. Well, you're so pretty. Why are you saying that?" "Well, my brother said that I look like a boy." So I called him over. I won't say which one it is. I called him over and I said, "Now listen. This is not true of her. She doesn't look like a boy. I want you to apologize." "Okay, I apologize." Boom, you know, and he's off playing again, right? So I got her the same shirt that I got Jana, you know, had made here in Shelbyville. The prettiest girl on earth. That's what Gracie is. She's wearing it this morning. Give her a hit, you know, a high five and tell her how pretty she is. Those brothers. I know how easy it is. I was the youngest of two older sisters. The bratty brother. Oh, man. It's so easy to push the hot buttons, you know. So much fun. So easy. But there's a mystery and a depth about a woman's soul and femininity that I believe reflects God. There is a depth. There is a in the emotions, in the understanding, in the sensitivity, in the way things impact you. For guys, it's not really that way. I mean, we're pretty shallow individuals. You know, if we have enough sleep, enough food, particularly meat, grilled, plenty of meat, throw in some butter popcorn for me. And adventure. Because boredom is not good for masculinity. Women, it's much different. For guys, the question is, am I captivating? The question is, do I have what it takes? Am I going to have the strength when it's needed? When it really counts and someone needs help and needs the strength that a man can give and stepping in with courage, with strength, with guidance, will I have what it takes? And I want to say, yes, men, you have what it takes. I'm looking forward to Father's Day's message already. Okay, just letting you know, it's going to be good. I'm going to bring in at least one sword. I've got a handful in the office, so I don't know, at least one. Ladies, you are captivating. And what counts is what God sees. And He created you beautiful. You're precious in His sight. I can remember even back in the 90s, you guys, you will remember this, who haven't been here in a while. We had altar calls in the 90s and just have prayer times for people. And it'd be somebody who's, you know, gray-haired and older, you know, maybe in their 70s, I don't know. But I would see them as this precious little girl as I started praying for them. This heart of God, of how He just loves His little daughter. He treasures His little daughter. And you can still come and sit on the Father's lap. You can still do that at any age and just rest in that Father's love. Because you are captivating. You are that precious Gracie that is so cute and adorable. You are that little girl that you just that you love in your family as a grandmother and a grandfather. They're so precious, and that's the way God sees you. There's a book I recommend. It's called Captivating. by Stacy Eldridge and her husband John. John is the one that wrote Wild at Heart, which has stayed for now like 22-23 years, the number one Amazon men's book for over 2 decades. I mean, how do you figure that? That's how right spot on this material is, and his wife writes this book called Captivating. I read it myself, not only to understand my wife and then my daughter, Jan, as she was growing, but for me to see beauty in a new light. That book just opened my eyes. So there's value to beauty. I hadn't seen it in a bigger light before. Before, I'm kind of just a practical guy. Let's get it done. Let's save some money while we're at it. But beauty has a cost. But yet, it doesn't really have a purpose. It doesn't really have a function. I mean, just think about it for a minute. You're remodeling a house. You need to put up a wall to separate two rooms and to strengthen the ceiling and the rafters up here. So you put up a wall. Hey, it's done. You know, it's the drywall mud's been sanded down. It's done. Let's, move in and get the furniture in here. Hold it. Well, we got to paint it. Well, we don't have to paint it. It's working right now. It's holding up everything. It's dividing the two. You don't have to paint it. Well, no, hold it. Well, what is it, honey? What do you want? Well, okay, we'll paint it. Just paint it. We'll get white, the cheapest color paint we can find. Just, no, I don't want white. I want something that I like, something that's going to impact my emotions. I want a certain color. I'm going to take some long time to decide what color that's going to be. Okay, good. We got it painted now. Let's move on. No, this wall needs something hanging on it. No, it's not. It's functional. It's working. It's doing just it's why it's here for. What do we need? A wall hanging, something in a picture. Okay, all right. We'll take a picture of you and the kids, and we'll take a picture and we'll put it on a cheap frame and put it on there. Okay, there it is. Now we got it. Well, I saw this painting that I want, and a painting? What are you talking about? Beauty has value and worth to it. And photography is fantastic, the way it can capture certain light and nuances and things. But I'll just show you a painting that's in my mom's living room that many of the family like. There is a mom being her serving self, having the kids go perhaps. I don't know why I imagine this is like a downward slope down to the beach on some rocky coast somewhere. And they're going down to the beach and she's got a picnic and she's has this time of joy with the family. And she's made their favorite sandwiches and they're going to have a great time. They're going to be safe, though, and even carrying. That's a pretty big boy. I'd tell her, put that boy down. Let him walk down him by himself. But, she's got a mother's heart. He was complaining. He's barefooted, like, oh, that hurt my feet. And she's, like, carrying this big old boy down the hill. That's a mother's heart. And she bears the image of God. So does worship, let's make the connection here to worship in our series, does worship really have a purpose? You're not asking God to answer this prayer. You're not like telling him how you feel about, what's going on in your situation. You want him to intervene. It's not a time of prayer. This is not like a time of training where he's, preparing you for something that you got to get done the next day. And what is the purpose of worship? It's hard, kind of hard to answer that question. It's like, well, I don't, what's the purpose of it? He likes it. He wants it. He created us as worship beings, spirit, soul, and body. We are created for it. And so in Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2, it says, okay, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. I mean, how do you bless someone that's the all-knowing, all-powerful, he has no need kind of a guy? Kind of hard to go shopping for, birthdays for him. He's got the guy with everything. He is the source of all good things. And yet he says, bless me, bless me. Honor me, extol me. Honor me, put your eyes on me. Just look at me, look at me. Gaze at who I am, what I am, and my beauty. We are starting officially another series in the middle of a series. How's that? And it's on the names of God, the Old Testament names of God. Now, when you talk about the Old Testament names of God, it's like, oh, wow, we're going to go May, June, and July, and some in August with this. That's a long time. We're not going to talk about Jesus for 4 months. Jesus is in the Old Testament, folks. Everything that happened in the Old Testament, Jesus was there. He was part of it. He is God, Father, Son, Jesus, and Holy Spirit. So there's no divergence from Jesus in an Old Testament series. But we're highlighting who Jesus is at the same time. It's not one or the other. And today's name of God is Yahweh Sabaoth. And it means the Lord of hosts, of the hosts of heaven, the armies of heaven. And it's just too many words to describe how great this Sabaoth is, this Lord of greatness, of the heavens of greatness. He's almighty, he's all splendor, greatness above all others. You can just go on and on and on. It's just, you can't have enough words to honor and completely finish blessing Yahweh Sabaoth. Here it is in Psalm 24, verses 8 through 10. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. That's Sabaoth. He is the King of glory. Listen, there's nobody except our Lord Jesus. Our God is the King of glory. He is the King of glory. He, all the glory that and the greatness that's ever been in the universe came from him. Didn't come from somewhere else. There's no one in competition. There's no competition. I want to mention to you, Out of Sync, by the way, a movie that Delisa and I went to called The Story of Everything. And it may still be out. Hopefully it'll be online, in a few weeks or a couple months or whatever. And it's a scientist's, this whole, 2 hour plus movie. And they are telling us in the first half of the movie how the universe had to come from something. That mathematically in physics, they cannot do the numbers and the physics in any other way. It has to come from something. Whether they use the word creator or intelligent design, from somewhere, something. And it just destroyed the Big Bang Theory, because they, in mathematically and physics, it doesn't work. And so their scientists are going, I was an atheist. I guess I believe in something out there. I'm a deist of some kind. There's even some that are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, because they just see this universe is expanding, and how can you go back and make it into nothing? It had to come from somewhere. And so they explain all this, and I got sleepy, and after I finished the buttered popcorn, I took a nap for a little while. So I missed the transition to the other part. So I got to go back and see it. But then the other side of it is they go into the depth of the cell structure and DNA and proteins and what they discover. And they're doing it again. They're saying, scientists are saying, nothing can explain this except intelligent design. Evolutionary processes cannot create this preciseness in unseen microbiology. This is blown away the science world. So you might want to drink coffee unless you really can track with all those scientists, during that movie. Let's go. Let's keep talking. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, David says. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek Him in His temple. And you know that God's beauty is not just in the temple. There's an anointing on corporate worship that's different than the anointing privately, but you worship at home, you worship in the car, you worship here. There's a uniqueness in every setting. And then there's just a uniqueness about hearing the birds sing. There's a beauty in the earth, in nature, that captures you. Those sunrises and those sunsets are capturing you, that is reflecting a piece of the glory of God. How much more does He hold even more glory? I'm going to just describe a little bit about this God of ours, Yahweh Sabaoth, in Isaiah 6, but I want to read to you Revelation 4. In Isaiah 6, this is the prophet who is getting his day in the courtrooms of heaven. And he sees this throne room with the King of Kings, this Sabaoth, Lord of all the hosts, and his train fills the temple, and he's seeing something he's never seen. He sees seraphim with six wings flying around, just glorifying God. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of hosts. So they're saying His name. These seraphim are saying this Hebrew name. And he's just undone. I mean, he just goes, woe is me. He just goes into repentance. We see the same scene in Revelation 4. And I want to just read it to you. I don't want it on the slides because I just want you to listen. And folks, this is the scene that's happening right now in the throne room. It was happening in Isaiah's day. It's going to happen in the book of Revelation in the future. But it's happening right now. So don't read this as something, oh, that's nice, you know, when we have our glorified bodies and when, you know, that stuff all gets started. No, it's going on right now. And that's why it's okay to see Him as He is right now and honor and glorify this Lord of the hosts of heaven. Folks, we don't know how many angels there are. Thousands, millions. What does it look like? What does it feel like when you have millions of angels giving all their attention to the throne and they're all looking to Him, just glorifying Him? What is happening in the room when one of those angelic creatures would appear before us? We would just go straight on our face and say, Lord, have mercy. There's millions of them. This is the Apostle John in Revelation 4. Listen to this. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I heard speaking to me like a trumpet sound. Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. A trumpet sound with somebody's voice? Folks, the noises, the sounds, the trumpets, the horns, the percussion, the music, the sounds in heaven will be nothing we've ever heard. It's going to be a whole nother level. It's going to fill your ears and your mind's going to go, what? And there's going to be depth to the music. It will never just be the same, oh, that song again. Oh, yeah, that's a song that we've done. No, listen, there will be such a freshness and a depth in the music of the depth of God who created music. I think there might even be a jazz night one night. I hope Kenny G is saved so he can play some solos. I think there'll be some angels and some saints actually singing together and playing some guitars together. Get some acoustic guitar jamming going together with some angels. And there are harps and guitars and you're just going, yeah. Country music, huh? Yeah, country music night. I don't know about Southern Gospel, folks. I just don't know. I'd struggle with that. I know. I had an old friend say one time, you know, Southern Gospel is the only Christian-based style of music. That's what's going to be in heaven every day, every night, for eternity. And I was like crying when he was telling me that. I'm sorry, folks. There's some good songs. Bill Gaither, he's got it. He's good. All right. I'm sorry. I've digressed terribly. All right. Verse 2, at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. What colors are we going to see? It's going to be better than any sunset that we take pictures of. It's going to go, oh, where's my phone? I got to take a picture of this. Every day, every moment. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones. Seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Folks, there won't be, quiet like a monk's sanctuary with them humming. They're chanting their scriptures and their songs, and it's going to be really quiet the whole time. There's going to be thunder and lightning. You're going to watch where this lightning's going. I don't know if I want to get hit by that lightning. Did any of you guys feel the thunder early morning Monday? I've talked to people all the way in Louisville that experienced their house shaking. I was up in the basement and I thought, is that an earthquake or is that thunder? I've never experienced anything like that. That's what it's going to be like. Your body's going to be shaking with the thunder. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. Even under its wings, day and night, they were never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, this Yahweh Sabaoth. He is the Almighty One who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory to God and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay down their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Folks, our whole chest is just going to be full of what's going on here. These sounds, this worship, the colors, you're just going to practically explode on the inside. Seeing it all, sensing it all, feeling it all. And there's something going on here. These seraphim have eyes under the wings all around them. It's going to look kind of weird. It's a lot of eyeballs. I believe I have a theory. Why so many eyeballs? These are the seraphims that fly around the throne and keep saying the same thing. I wonder if they have shifts, and they come in and rotate, or they fight over shifts. They love to be there. And they go, I keep looking into God. And I'm seeing new things. I'm getting more revelation. There's a depth I haven't seen before. Every time I fly around, God is mysterious. You cannot figure Him out. You cannot make Him do what you want Him to do. You cannot manipulate Him. You surrender to this great and almighty God. You honor Him. You bless Him. You say, you are the Lord of Lords. You're the Creator. I am your creation. I humble myself. I lay prostrate before you because that's the only appropriate position in a time like this when you see Him, the King of Glory. They have eyes all around. They're seeing new things, new depths. They never get bored. It's always something fresh and new, something that's fueling them and empowering and strengthening them. God is like that. Let's seek Him diligently. Let's ask for a hungry heart, a thirsty heart. Let's watch it when we're getting bored with the Word. Let's rebuke that and say, God, give me a hunger. Give me a thirst for you. I want to see I want to be captivated by you. You are captivating. Why am I getting bored with your word? Please forgive me, Lord. Worship doesn't seem to have a function. Worship doesn't seem to have a purpose. Yet it's so valuable to God. And when we are gazing upon Him, His beauty and His worth, we're being transformed. So something is happening. It's something that we can't do on our own by looking at ourselves. Well, I believe she bears His image. And I believe that God has a mysterious nature, and He put that into you ladies. That it's okay if there's a struggle to understand exactly what you're feeling right now and what's going on. I want to help all the husbands in here. It's okay if you don't understand everything about your wife after being married 30, 40, 50 plus years. They are a creature with mystery and depth to them that we don't have. And so it's okay. Just be a really good listener. Just be humble and let them get it out. Let the Lord is working in them. You love on them and you honor that and bless that. It's okay. This is not something to get a guilt trip on. Bless them and release them. God, Holy Spirit is working. We don't have to fix everything, guys. I know I want you to be a leader in your home and all that, but we don't have to fix everything. Let's walk alongside. Let's carry the burdens together. Let's come and see what they're searching, what they're trying to discern, and God will show it to them. God will show it to them. They'll get discernment, and they'll get guidance, and let's join in with them. I want to end with a little bit of worship, so I'm going to ask the two lovely ladies and the beauty that they carry in worship. Let's give these two, Delisa and Julia, a big hand. My wife is so faithful to this team. She prepares every week, several hours a week. She just gives her best consistently unto the Lord. Julia is one of the strongest women I've ever met as a single mom, all that she carries, and yet she's a walking instrument of music and song and worship. Their home is full of music. They have joy because of it. And Julia, I just say thank you for letting us step into your worship leading that you have in your life. Despite all the challenges, single moms out there, single dads, you are amazing. I don't know how you do it. You have extra grace. Let's give them a big hand. You're amazing. Let's just go ahead and worship Him before we say a final blessing. Let's take a little time.
Y'all would join me in this. You can sit or stand, whatever you want to do. Let's just sing out to the Lord this morning.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father.
As I come into your presence,
as I come into your presence and past the gates of praise into your sanctuary till we're standing face to face, I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace, and I can only down and say.
awesome, Lord. The English language is so short, Lord. You're awesome. You're amazing. You're all powerful. Your greatness is beyond our imagination. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome. You are awesome.
We want to see you as you are. Open our eyes. Let us gaze upon your beauty. Let us see this might, this power, this glory, this beauty, the colors, the creativity. Lord, let us see you more deeply. Give us those eyes.
We already heard a clear call not to wait another day. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, this is a great day to take the doubt away, to come out of living for yourself and in darkness and say, I want to live in the light. I don't want to hide anything. I want to come back to you, Jesus, or to you for the first time. You might be listening online. This could be for you right now. The Holy Spirit is working where you are saying, I'm returning. I'm coming back. I am not going to let the distractions of this world either pull me away, choke me out, or quench what God wants to do. I'm coming back. I'm repenting for my sin, my selfishness. I'm turning to you, Lord Jesus. I receive your forgiveness on the cross. It's for me. Your resurrection of life, it's for me. I receive it. I believe it. I trust in you. We have people on either side available for prayer. They're here. I'll be down here as well. Jill, you just keep singing away. I appreciate you so much. There is, in these spring mornings, the birds are bursting out. Jill, you sound just as good as those birds. I mean, your voice is so amazing. It is so beautiful. So, Lord, we do want to see you more deeply, more like the way you are. Lord, may this week we see something deeper, more clearly. Be blown away by heaven. It's happening right now. It's not just something down the road. You can bring us in by revelation and let us see a glimpse of something that we haven't seen before about you. Out of Isaiah 6 or Revelation 4 and 5, Lord God, you know how to reveal yourself to us. Lord, we don't want to wait for everything to happen. Let us see some right now. This day, as we celebrate the ladies in our life, Lord, may we see it there. May we see it in nature. May we see it in the Word. May we see you. You are blessed to have a great week. Thank you so much for coming. You have more than enough grace to see Jesus more clearly. Love y'all. Happy Mother's Day.